All right, welcome to Tennis Sucks, a pickable podcast by a great Travis Graham. Let me do that one more time.
I'll try that one more time, Luke. Well,
welcome to Tennis Sucks, a pickable podcast by Travis Rettenmeyer and Graham D'Amico. We are in the backyard of Travis's house. Not quite as many palm trees as Graham's, but
Graham's is better.
Still room for improvement. But we're here because we have a special guest coming on soon, which we'll talk about. I don't know. Do you guys have anything that you want to quickly start things off with?
Well, the draft has been announced for MLP. That's huge.
Yeah, we got North Carolina the 2nd of April and the 3rd for Challenger.
The 3rd's probably important for you.
Probably. I mean, the way I've been playing, I deserve Challenger.
But no, that's really exciting, right? I was only 2 months off.
Although, did you see the stats thing?
No. More Real Clear stats? Do you own a piece of that company?
Number 2. Numero dos, okay?
All right.
I don't own a piece, but... I should.
Speaking of which, we got the Real Clear stats.
Yeah.
We have access now.
So yeah, draft is in North Carolina, April 2nd and 3rd. First event is Atlanta.
Yep.
Atlanta in May. So season's kicking off. We got the schedule. It's starting. And we're starting, I guess, with kind of a promo in Miami next week during the Miami Tennis Open with the Miami Open Showcase. That should be cool.
And you're going to that, right?
I'm going to that, yeah.
I plan on going too.
Good. You should.
Yeah.
So what is it? What is going to happen? It's a showcase?
Yeah, essentially they're doing like a mini MLP event at the Miami Open just to showcase the players, showcase the format, showcase the event, and promote it in conjunction with tennis.
Do you know who's going to play?
I don't know all the players. I know Anna Bright's in it. Michelle Scavel is on my squad. I think Federico and Pablo are in it, but I don't know the majority of the players.
So it's like a proper pro.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think it's 8 to 12 pros, and we'll all be there for 3 days.
Wow!
And they're having like a big like pickleball convention,
Racket
sort of.
Racket X.
That's it happens every year.
No, but it's the first time.
Oh, it is. Yeah. But a lot of pickleball, not just tennis people, will be there. There'll be a lot of pickleball vendors as well.
Mm-hmm. Pickleball, tennis, ping pong, all racket sports.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. I want to go to that too.
It's gonna be really cool.
It's
you
still
should.
Going on. Yeah, that's neat.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. That's this weekend in Miami.
Yes. I leave Sunday night.
Got it. Yeah.
First event with Engage is Sunday night.
Nice. Yeah. The Dink will be there too. And there's a big panel with MLP, PPA,
right,
APP, USA Pickleball.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so you're going also?
I'm going to be in Miami, but not for Racket X.
What are you going to be there for?
Miami Music Week.
Fucking guy's going to be raging. I mean, I could have told you that. As soon as you said, it's ultra. So, you
know? Where should I go if I'm there for, what's the underground after scene, not the major?
Mm. Oh, is that what you're into?
Yeah, that's what I'm into. More of that.
I want the underground
I like
shit
the late
too.
Night small stuff where like the DJs sneak to, you know, and they pop in at 3 o'clock.
I'll
after.
Have to let you know the 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. sets.
Do you know about those?
Yeah, sure, I do.
Of course he does. Yeah.
He also knows. He does right through the next day, 7 a.m. to the 10 a.m. brunch set.
If Luke is gone for a portion of time, it's because he's raging.
Yeah.
Listening to music, he says.
I'll have to let you know. But actually, speaking of the Dink, we're back on our channel. This is back on Tennis Sucks YouTube. It was a good stint putting us on the Dink. But
appreciate it.
We're back. Go support the Dink somehow. Go subscribe to the newsletter or buy a pickleball box. But we're good to be back on our channel. So,
can we do a quick recap of the weekend?
Yeah, it was bizarre, please. Yeah,
right? Let's just do a quick one. Anna Lee lost twice. Only two events she was in, both on Monday. Rohrbacher, who we're very fond of, and Anna Bright, also very fond of, took down Catherine and Anna Lee in 4 games.
Yeah.
And you would think like that's the story of the event, but it's not. Andre Daescu is the story of the event. Mm-hmm. Like, what a fucking monster!
Double gold.
Beats Ben and Anna Lee in 3 straight games. Just looks like he doesn't miss. Super competitive, super professional. Couldn't be playing better. Couldn't be a nicer guy. And yeah, he just made James Ignatovic look like James is dog shit.
What are his stats? What are Andre Daescu's stats? Are you a big fan of Real Clear stats? I know you always rank high in it, but do you believe in it? Do you think it's a resource that should be used for drafting teams?
I think it has some merit. I think it needs to be adjusted slightly because like there are certain parameters that it doesn't indicate, I don't think. But I'd have to ask, you know, more of the Real Clear stat guys exactly how they come up with the numbers.
I mean, now that I'm looking at them, I realize the Hard Eights, which, you know, Challenger team, they basically picked
exactly
the 4 top people. Mm. and they went undefeated. So
there you go.
Testament to that,
yeah.
Right? But do you know how Deescu does in those stats?
He's high.
Yeah, it's got to be, right?
He's a top tenner.
Yeah. It's wild how good he is.
What do you think he's done differently to be able to come in and just absolutely destroy?
Well, I have this theory about like an MLP bump, like a real bump, not Crescent Lake bump, but that, and I don't know the exact reasoning for it, but if you do well in MLP, because you get partners that you might not have, right? Better partners than you're used to. But if you win, if you notice the trend of people who win at MLP, the several months after that, they start having, it's like it snowballs. And I don't know if it's because maybe they cashed, they got some money. So the stress of winning money kind of goes away a little bit. You know, if you put it's 60 to 100,000 in your pocket, it's not, you know what I mean?
Like, it's just a confi build, man. It's just confidence.
I mean, it
confidence is everything.
But think about it. All four squeeze players, right?
Yeah.
And then Christian Alshon.
Yep.
We can't see Ryan Newman because he's not there, but Christian Alshon, you know, busting out of the seams right now. So all those people that are did well in MLP are doing really well on all the tours.
Yeah.
Which is testament to that, those wins, I think.
And I'm just kidding. James Ignatovich, obviously a great player, but very funny that Andre comes in and goes gold with both his partners.
Yeah.
But people love that.
James is a monster.
It was wild. The conditions were pretty poor, though, playing over this weekend,
right?
Yeah,
it was terrible. Windy, rain.
Conditions are always bad. What is that complaint?
This was worse.
I mean, it seems like every event you go to, the conditions are terrible.
No, it's not true. No, I mean, like, cold is cold, but it's just cold. You know, like, this was windy, rainy, hard to practice.
Did you play at Dreamland for some of your matches?
Yeah, I played Dreamland for my men's match.
For your men's match?
Yeah. And there we kind of had a bad break. Like, we got a default our first round. Pat and Connor played on the court that we played on right before we played. So they literally just won and stayed on the court. And Augie and I had hit 5 balls walking out to the court, and it was like, shit. It took a minute to kind of get adjusted.
Yeah.
So how was Augie?
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Very cerebral guy, very accountable, very professional. I think reads the game really well. He went to Beijing, as you know, like I for whatever reason have this happen to me, but for 7 days he had to go to Beijing for something. So he was flying into Austin from Beijing, hadn't played much. So he was a little rusty, but his decision-making process and his game are really exciting. I think he's really, really good.
What's his size? Is he like, I've never seen him live.
He's a big boy.
Oh, he's big.
Yeah,
you're not a big boy. Andre Deescu's a big boy.
Jack Sock's a big boy.
Jack Sock's a big boy.
I'm mediocre.
Slightly bigger than average guy.
Bigger than as long as I'm bigger than you.
That's not true. I'm taller and bigger than you.
Let's go. Scale's right there.
Okay. I'll get on the scale, big boy.
Okay, now I'm a little scared. All right, let's talk about our guests. So, excitingly, we have Jack Sock coming on, who Graham is ultra familiar with.
Huge fan of Jack Sock.
As a pickleball player.
As a pickleball player.
Knows nothing about him as a tennis player. Like, literally nada. Didn't even know tennis was an Olympic sport. And Jack's a gold medalist.
Did you know that tennis is an Olympic sport?
I mean, I would have assumed, but...
Assumed or you knew?
I mean, like...
You've watched some Olympic tennis before?
If you would ask, I don't know. Maybe. If you had said, like, is tennis an Olympic sport? I would have been like, yeah, I'm 99% certain it would be. Why wouldn't it be?
No, I just never seen it. I've never watched an Olympic tennis match.
I have.
I really don't know any tennis matches, period.
I think it's because, for the Olympics, mostly I'm watching like the stuff that you don't get to normally see.
Swimming, gymnastics.
Right. Thing. Yeah. So like, but if I'm going to watch tennis, I'd watch like Wimbledon or something, you know?
Yeah, same.
So, I think that's but yeah, I didn't know that Jack Sockett was a gold medalist. That's
cool. Gold medalist in mixed. And then I think he's bronze in men's doubles.
Interesting.
So he's got 2 medals sitting in his house.
Do you think that tennis players who medal more in doubles transition to pickleball better than people?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Doubles players are better because their skill set is more catered. That's where Jack is unique. He's got great hands, but he's very fast and agile. Hence, he was very good in men's singles as well.
He was. Okay.
He was 8 in the world.
In what? In singles?
In singles.
Yeah. He was 8 in singles and 2 in doubles.
Yeah. But he was the best doubles player in the world.
Well, then why was he 2?
Because he didn't play enough events.
Oh.
He was still focusing on a single, so he didn't play like a full schedule like the other guys.
And then he got injured a couple years back, right?
Yeah.
And then he made a comeback.
Correct.
Did he climb from that injury or not quite the same?
Not like he did, no.
What was the injury?
I don't know. You can ask him.
Oh, yeah.
No clue. But yeah, he didn't quite get, I think he got back to top 100, but was never the same. It's hard. Once you like make that entry and then you exit, it's very, very hard to do it again.
Yeah. Who was his main partner?
Vasek Pospisil. And Mike Ryan for one.
Oh, the Bryan brothers?
Bob was out and he played with Mike and they won the US Open.
Oh, that's huge. I got another question for you. What is the number two doubles guy in tennis make a year without sponsors? I know sponsors probably more than the actual winnings, right?
Number two guy, probably a couple million bucks.
In winnings?
In winnings, just in prize money?
Yeah, like prize money.
Probably over a mil.
Wow. All right.
Probably a 1.5, I'd guess. Gotcha. I mean, if you win a slam, it's like, I don't know, 350 grand.
In doubles?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's nice.
That's big money.
Yeah, that's real money. What do I want to ask him? Well, I wrote a couple of my in the notes here. The big one I'm noticing with him is it feels like he's having fun.
So much fun.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like you used to be more like that when you first came into pickleball because you didn't have, I don't think you had these huge expectations. You were just like, I'm good. I'm going to go have fun. It's a new career for me. And, you know, you let loose. And as time goes on, it's become maybe more stressful.
No question. Yeah, it's winning. Something I have to get back to.
Yeah, it's like not as fun for you. But I see Jack out there and he's like a child. Yeah. And I think a lot of players that are winning right now kind of have that, exude that same like positivity exuberance and childlike mentality. And I'd like to talk to him about that because I think that's what fans are attracted to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he's a great player, but he's having a ton of fun.
There he is.
Was he like that in tennis?
Yeah. I mean, he was always like Showtime boy. What up, Jack?
Let's go.
Well, I mean, we'll label you real good. I think when you were young, even like you had a taste for the spotlight, right? Like you were kind of more of a showman than anything. Like I think that was always a part of your persona. It wasn't always rigid and, you know, maybe the most regimented to some extent, but it looked like you were enjoying yourself.
Yeah. I mean, probably label it as unorthodox a little bit compared to the standard of what it felt. Yeah, it felt like if you weren't kind of in the you weren't doing exactly what the top players are doing, if you smiled on the court, you weren't taking it serious.
Right,
I don't know, hugging trees and gluten free and doing all the crazy stuff, maybe you weren't
taking it seriously.
You weren't giving it your best, but I would say I had a great ride. Pretty proud of the things I accomplished. Wouldn't change how it went.
Yeah, Graham here didn't even know that tennis was an Olympic sport. So when I said you won two medals, he said tennis is in the Olympics. Like, yeah,
it is. I never thought about
it. So he's a big fan of yours, purely pickleball, not tennis related. Like, never saw you hit a ball. Doesn't know that guy. Has no clue who that guy is.
There's a medal.
Beautiful.
Medal
beautiful.
There.
Congratulations. Your country thanks you.
Yeah. Pickleball better become an Olympic sport. That'd be sick.
Well, it was supposed to, but we didn't have participation for international. Like, they didn't meet the requirements internationally. Ludicrous. That would have been sick if you could go two sports. That would have been nasty.
What I was saying to Travis was, it seems like players, I'm thinking like Anna Bright, Rachel Rohrabacher, Gabe Tardio, they're all kind of like these like, you know, having fun, childish, exuberant feeling to them, not more serious players, and they're winning a lot. And I'm wondering, is it like, are they having fun because they're winning, or are they winning because they're not, you know, as stressed about winning, they're just having fun?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't probably seen like a Gabe Tardio play enough yet. He does seem like he is a little more relaxed out there. I would venture to say, I think Anna Bright's a really good player, but she seems very serious out there. And maybe that's just,
yeah, no, she is.
I wouldn't classify her in the fun category. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but she just seems very intense. Like, obviously she wants to win. She'll get into it. Big come ons, all that.
I guess the positive is the, you know, it's like they're, like you're dancing out there in between points or playing left-handed for a point, or, you know, it's like you're taking it seriously, but you're having fun while doing it. And that's doing something, right? It's creating some.
For me, it was a big goal of mine. And obviously Travis can attest to this as well, that, we played tennis for so long. It is junior tennis, and kind of working your way up, kind of going through that process is a blast. Every tournament is so fun. Junior tournaments, nationals. If you're able to turn pro and you go down that route and that path, that's a whole new challenge. It's a whole new thing that you have to try to overcome and you want to accomplish. And that's fun as well. And of course, you're young. If you're young and you're traveling the world, you get to see these amazing places. You're playing some incredible tournaments. The whole thing is the whole thing's a blessing. Very fortunate to have done it. I do feel like there's maybe a time in there it turns.
That's what I was asking. When did it turn like job like for you?
What's that?
When did it turn job like for you, where it wasn't that fun anymore?
You know, what it was. It was definitely some of the injuries. Obviously, didn't help. I mean, when you and things are going. I mean, I was rising. I was peaking. I had my best year in 2017, and I had just a pretty average year to follow up in 2018, and then, you know, thumb surgery to start 2019, and I go from, you know, top 10 in the world to top 50 in the world to unranked in a matter of, you know, 18 months or whatever it was, 12 months. And it was just,
I think when we spoke in Vegas, like a year and a half ago, you had already kind of decided that you were going to give tennis one more year, but that you loved pickleball, right?
Yeah.
And I think as a viewer, like as a fan of tennis as I was, and to some extent still am, like I would watch it, it always looked like you were having a good time. And then in the last few years watching you, you could see like the joy kind of goes away. It's just like, fuck, this is week in, week out, a grind. You're away from your friends, away from the family. And I think what Graham is like touching on for me is when I first started pickle a year and a half ago and you and I talked, it was like the greatest thing in the world. And it still is. Like, I love pickle. But at the same time, I play now every fucking week. I'm away from my kid at times. It starts to become less fun, you know, just less joyful. And it's like, for me, I'm trying to figure out how to retain that while I play. And like, are you concerned about that with pickle at all? Because I think you told me, which I thought was a great quote, you said, there's no chance I'll ever get to this where it's not fun anymore. Something like that. Like, that was your primary goal.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, it was. I think, and what I was kind of going to allude to there when I was talking about the injuries and stuff in tennis, that definitely takes some joy out of it. I think just naturally when you, like I said, you go from a very high ranking to unranked because I think the ranking system in tennis, when you have a major injury, I think it's a little, can be a little unfair at times. Cause then you're only working with a certain amount of tournaments to get your points back when you do get back. And it's kind of, you basically start over like I did. I was fortunate to get wild cards into some challengers and some 250s and stuff to try to help. But I mean, if you don't have that help, you're literally starting back at like futures where we all started when you're turning pro the first time. So it's almost like it's a complete reset. And I had some great results. I had, unfortunately a couple years ago at Wimbledon, they didn't award the points, to players. It was just prize money. That was almost a little bit of a turning point for me.
What'd you make?
Because I had qualified, made third round, had break point to serve for the fourth round, but, that would have solidified me back in the top 100, back in all the tournaments. And I think that would have changed things. And I kind of just hovered in that 105 to 135 range.
So right on the bottom.
A lot of people get stuck, and you're not directly in slams, but you're kind of still challengers mainly. And anyways, long story short, it definitely, I think the whole grind back, and I gave it a great go. I put in some really good off seasons to give it, you know, another year or two and try. But yeah, I think that grind that you're talking about of week in and week out of the tennis side of it, is far more strenuous, and exhausting than the pickle side of it. But my main thing from tennis into pickle was taking my doubles attitude and kind of personality from tennis, which I think resulted in a lot, which gave me a lot of great results in doubles, was kind of how I am in pickle to a degree. Is like, I just want to smile. You have someone with you, you're having a blast. You might hit unconventional shots. They may work, they may not, but you're just enjoying yourself. You're enjoying the moment. And I think that is also for me personally, when I produce my best product on the court, whether it was tennis or pickle or whatever. Yeah, my main goal, honestly, was to smile, you know, engage with the crowd, and, you know, engage with the opponents, and I love the fun chirping side of it at times, and the give and the take, and having, you know, playing with a good buddy and Chicky, and the single side of it is fun. And yeah, I think that's my main goal. I'm not, I think the quote you're talking about, I won't get to the point where, yeah, you're not in that joyful state on the court, because then
that
kind of
sucks.
Like tennis, I'd rather do something else.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
What about, are you going to play MLP?
I don't know. I would absolutely love to. The concept of a team thing, I've always thoroughly enjoyed that, which is shocking because played an individual sport my whole life. But I love the team side of it. The Davis Cup, the Laver Cup experiences I had in tennis, I always felt like I brought my best stuff in those. You get to, you know, feed off the energy and everything with your team. And from what I've watched in MLP, it looks like a blast. From what I've heard from other players, it seems like a huge favorite amongst players to play. And it'll kind of depend on the schedule. I'm still kind of trying to understand what's going on. It sounds like it's going to be maybe four or five events.
So the draft for MLP is coming up in the first week of April, 2nd and 3rd. You'll make a decision before then, you think, whether or not you're going to make yourself eligible?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm going to have to decide what I want to do. Like I said, I would love to play. I would think it'd be super enjoyable. I'd love to battle with some teammates and have fun with the team side of it all. But for me, it's going to depend on schedule, just because if it's extra, I think some of them, it was like, you might have to be at a location for like 10, 12 days now.
If you play the PPA after, it's like 10 days.
Yeah. Which is, I don't want to say not what I signed up for, but
yeah.
It's
a lot. Your kid is what, 3 months old?
What's that?
How old's your kid?
Four month old.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because then some of the weeks you have, then you're at home for a few days and you got to maybe go do it again, depending on
correct
the time of year and all that. So,
it's worth it, Dak.
Hey, Jay, you don't have to tell me to pull my finger to play a team thing. Like I said, I think it'd be a blast. It's going to have to depend on schedule a little bit, or maybe rearranging. Yeah. Maybe how many PPAs I've been playing or something. I don't know.
I'm sad you didn't notice my shirt yet either. Did you notice the shirt?
Well, I can't even see you guys anymore.
Oh man, I got the query for Premier. I'm repping them out.
All right, we're gonna turn it back on and try. See how that it holds up.
See? Your man right here. The most improved player in pickleball over the last 3 months.
The query.
He's shredding right now.
I think query's gotten better.
He has. I'm not kidding with the most improved in the last 3 months. I'm dead serious.
I think he's gotten a lot better.
Mixed actually. Is his event. He's crushing it.
This is Winnie. She just came by to say hi.
Hi, Winnie. So, personal touch. Do you remember the match we played in Hawaii? I think you were 19.
In Honolulu, 2012.
There you fucking go. You remember.
Sure do.
Do you remember trying to knock me on my block when you hit the forehand in the fence?
I don't remember. I don't remember a whole lot of the points, but I do remember the match.
So sure. I don't remember a lot of the points either. I just remember that. I think Delek and I were up like, I don't know, won the first set, maybe on serve in the second, or just broke. And you took a forehand from like mid range between service line and baseline and tried to hit
little speed up action.
Full speed up with some deception. Same take back.
Full
good
speed
deception.
Up off the bounce. Yeah, yeah.
And I literally had the matrix fall down. Ball went straight in the fence. I remember looking at Delek. I was like, shit, dude, that's the biggest forehand I've ever fucking seen. I wasn't even mad. Oh. It was more just like, wow, that's some speed. That's terrifying.
That was the, that was my nasty Nelson to you 12 years ago.
I'm so sad I missed that still. He pays me for it.
You had me bad.
Dude, I fucking had you.
Holy cow.
1 inch. If the serving rule wasn't in place there, I got you for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Damn.
I still hit the tape. It was like, it was rising.
It was rising. Dude. It was cocked.
You had me good.
How'd you start pickle? So when I know you started like a few years ago and you were playing.
Yeah. So I, honestly, the first time I ever played pickle was, I guess probably like a lot of people, I was still living in Kansas City, and it was like the neighborhood country club courts. Like the guys I played golf with, between 40 and 60 years old, like we played in. They had been playing pickle for a while. I got out there, figured it would be fairly straightforward. These guys like play it every week.
Right.
They're like, come try it out. I got this 55-year-old guy, double Under Armour wristband all the way down the thing, just lit me up. And I was like, what is going on?
I do.
So yeah, that was my first kind of taste of it. And then it was very recreational from there. Probably I maybe played a couple times a year. And then when I got to Charlotte, trying to think, I was training in the off season, probably, I don't even know. And I was actually at the Lifetime that they had the tournament at last year, training tennis in the off season indoors. And that's actually when I saw Brooke Buckner for the first time. I mean, she's helping coaching the Charlotte tennis team. And like, we said, hi, I remember her from junior tennis. And she said she was like kind of getting into pickle. And then the club that we used to live at here, out here, she was up there playing like legit pickle with people. And I was like kind of getting into like the playing with the golf guys that I played with here. And I was not good. Didn't know how to dink, reset anything. I saw them playing and they were like, tried to jump into them, got obliterated. And then that's kind of got me motivated. I was like, well, like, I think I should be better than this. So I started trying to jump in with them, which was probably hurting their improvement in practices. But I tried to jump in with them because, like anything, you play with better people, you're going to get better quick. Started jumping with them and started playing maybe once or twice a month. And then it kind of progressed into – that progressed into a little bit more. And then obviously when the North Carolina tournament last year became a thing, that was when probably for a few months prior to that is when I started putting in like legit practice time and didn't want to embarrass myself or not get Annalie a gold medal or at least attempt. So,
what's your practice regimen now?
Brooke
said you guys play at your house all the time, right? You built a court there.
Put a court in my backyard for personal and family. Honestly, my father-in-law loves it. So that's fun. He's got a group that he plays with all the time. Actually, Laura's a fan of it as well. It was tough, obviously, being pregnant while the court was in and everything. She wasn't able to play, but now she gets out there a little bit. Yeah, we got the Charlotte crew. We're probably out there 3 to 5 days a week, I would say.
That's solid.
Kind of depending, come back from a tournament. Not going to play for a couple of days or something. And then, get back into it. And we probably go 2 to 2.5 hours each time.
Maybe well, the reason I ask is because, obviously I was a critique of the backhand dink, which was even acknowledged after North Carolina last year. And then the game kind of evolved, right? All these guys started adding this little 2E dink cross, which, makes sense if you can control it. And it seemed like from the Masters to, what was the next one? I don't think it was Desert Ridge. It was Mesa. You started hitting 2Es, which you hadn't done before.
Yeah.
So was that like an easy transition for you? Was it something you were conscious of watching James and them? Or were you just logging hours and going, dit, dit, dit?
Yeah, it was probably a combo of a lot of it. From North Carolina last year, we already talked about this a little bit, but from North Carolina last year to the Masters, to my first kind of official and start of a season, I felt like pickleball was completely different in that sense. Like I was like, I understand why people are wearing, shades now and wearing goggles, and some of the balls being hit at the Masters, was terrifying at times. Especially, James, he can produce his own power. I do think, obviously, as we all know, paddles play a big part of it now, or the main part of it. I think I got frustrated at the Masters when I got into some hands battles and, I got into some dinking stuff where I felt like I just legitimately, almost like couldn't stand a chance at times. Yeah. With the speed of things were going. James's little two-handed roll,
it's disgusting.
Was like, it legitimately pushes you off the kitchen line, and then if you're back here trying to play something soft, it's like you're indeed.
Well, that's why you run around and hit so many forehands. But obviously, then you're kind of taking yourself out of the court to some extent.
And so but you also can't do that when James hits some of those that are that good. You can't even get around it at times, and then you're stuck. And then, so yeah, honestly, I think it pissed me off enough playing there that I got back and I was like, I will get some sort of version of this for the next tournament, and obviously keep working on it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to add this to the arsenal as soon as possible. And obviously, having Schick here, who does his little thing, he's got his nasty little topspin backhand. Brooks got a sweet one as well. Mm-hmm. And Roddy, you know, so I have people that, you know, I need to get better at it quick, or else it doesn't really give them much of a practice. So yeah, it was combo of motivated from the Masters and, just seeing, how the game is now and just putting the reps in at home on it. Yeah.
How do you rate the transition so far? Like, I mean, obviously you have a extreme athletic pedigree. You're a large guy. We've discussed this. Stacked, move very well still.
Soft in some areas, but big, yeah.
I mean, but still fucking moving, you know, like still moving very impressively. But how would you rate the transition? Like, you have, what do you want to accomplish in Pickle? Do you see yourself as the best guy? Do you want that? Like, I mean, Sam kind of came on here and said 95% of your guys' conversation is pickleball related and that you're obsessed with it, which I think you've kind of relayed to me as well, which is pretty clear. You obviously really enjoy it. So what do you want? Like, is it what you expected so far? Are things harder than you anticipated? Are they easier?
I would say the Masters, to be honest, I expected to do solid in singles. I think of tournament I've played. I wouldn't say I necessarily expected that because we don't really play singles. Colin and I will get out there and play some from time to time, but I enjoy the aspect of singles of the creativity of it and the for me the cat and mouse from the baseline of hitting forehands and stuff and I would say the transition has been kind of on par maybe with what I expect. I think there was a lot of expectation which I don't, maybe in tennis I would have looked into more or thought about more. I don't really care what people think.
Do
or
you
say.
Want to be the best guy? Like, is that your objective? Do you want Jack Sock as the best pickleball player in the world?
I would say I'm striving for that.
But fun is still the priority, that, right? Like, it's like fun, right. I wanna, ranking, whatever.
I want to be a bridge between tennis and pickle to a degree where we can all just enjoy the sports. There's no, doesn't need to be a negativity there. I want to be a positive, influence from a transition from tennis to pickle. I would like to be, one of the main guys, in all of the events for sure. I think my mixed and, men's doubles results so far have been part disappointing, part still just playing people. I mean, I'm still playing people every week that I've never played.
Right.
Still getting used to it all to a degree, but I also don't think I'm far away by any means.
No, you're not. For sure not.
I just think with a little time, a little more just experience playing those and maybe not playing Thomas Wilson in the second round of any tournament would be nice. men's doubles and
guys playing pretty good.
Yeah. And I do feel like the matches we've lost, people have played very well in the matches we played. I think, we had a chance to obviously with have a big mixed win there in Mesa over.
I think that was your best match from my view.
Yeah. I think that was a good one. I think honestly, even the match before it was, a very solidified team in Jade Cali Joe, I thought was, I honestly, that was one of the more, I was happy with that result and the way that went. It felt like I was able to use that athleticism, use that aggression, kind of pick them apart a little bit to a degree. I don't know if that sounds bad, but it, I mean, I felt
facts are facts.
Very in control. I felt very in control of what was going on. And honestly, I think it's still getting used to the draws and stuff as well. I think it's been slightly, I think it's slightly difficult when my first two events were progression draws. I'm playing with, you know, playing with people that I've never played with before in tournaments. And, it's slightly difficult when, you know, a first match in, you know, men's doubles or something, you know, you feel kind of comfortable and then you're all of a sudden you're thrown in the gauntlet against like a Ben and AL or into Thomas and Riley. We had twice in a row and like it's all of a sudden you got to like lock things in and like, you know, play very smart, play, not play too loose at all. So, it's still, still learning curve, in that sense for sure. But like I said, I don't think I'm far off from, you know, having some big, you know, deeper results, I guess.
How do you pick your partners?
You know, in another thing, this was like tennis doubles for me. I, you know, you may have, you know, opportunity to play with a very high ranked player that, like I said, is maybe very like
rigid,
very in their, very rigid, very in their tennis zone. I would much prefer to play with either someone I'm close with, a friend, someone I'm going to have fun with, someone that's going to enjoy being out there on the court. The last thing I want to do is not enjoy myself, feel miserable out there, and in turn not play great. Because that's
it's funny how they coexist. They really do. Like it's if you're enjoying it, it's hard to play bad.
Yeah, I mean, and then if you win or lose, if you lose, you walk off the court. Like Shiki and I, we walked off the court after losing to Thomas and Hunter last weekend, and we were like, that was a blast, honestly. Like we had fun. Like we had fun. We had lost. We had chances. We were up 7-6 in the third, and obviously, and I felt good about maybe our path to playing on, you know, on the weekend, and I was one. We walked off the court and, you know, dabbed each other up. We're like, dude, that was a blast. That felt like backyard pickleball.
That's really cool.
You know, so yeah.
So why were you playing left with Julian? That's what we don't understand. Like no one understands that. And did you keep your band as the right side beta? Did you keep it as a souvenir
server's band
for the time that you were the right side beta boy and you let the 5'9" guy to your left?
Oh man.
I mean, I walked over down 6-1 game two and I thought it was like a switch. And then you won like 7 points in a row on the left, and somehow you ended up on the right again. And I looked at you and I said, "What the fuck are you doing on the left?"
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the, you know, the event with Julian.
You looked weird over there, dude. You looked very weird over there. You just looked weird over there. You looked so stationary and boring.
A little bit on the island. I forgot what a forehand was. I didn't know. I started just shadow swinging forehands outside the sideline just to feel like I had some reach over here.
That reach portion is kind of important.
Yeah, I feel like I could help out in the middle a lot with some balls and try to work the point a little bit. That was one again. Kind of goes back to just enjoying the moment instead of like going back and forth with, you know, somebody you're playing with, like, oh, like I think I'm better on the left, or sure, I think we could do better if I'm on the left. And
you just let it fly.
He's been playing for a long time. He felt very comfortable there. I think he used a different paddle in every game and practice that we played in. Whatever made him feel comfortable, I was just going to try to adapt to.
Speaking of paddles, we were talking how you weren't going to last long with a certain paddle, right?
Yeah, come on.
And then we noticed that you were switching paddles in this last event.
I said 2 or 3 months, but you went back to it for the men's dubs.
Yeah, and that was a very good choice. I think the extra pop and stuff for singles was very helpful. I needed more time with it before playing in mixed and men's. I felt my biggest thing was just the feel of the ball up at the kind of balls out of the air. Some drives, for some reason, it felt like it was
sliding
kind
off.
Of slipping off the paddle. Yeah, sliding off the paddle at times. And I didn't feel in total control of what I was doing, which internally pissed me off and took me back to the old Luxy for the next day, in which I felt very in control, had a lot of fun with it.
Are you going to stay with that even as the time progresses now? Do you think that's going to be the paddle you remain with? Because it's going to get hot. Like 95 in Atlanta, that ball's not moving. It's right. A marshmallow.
No, I think actually earlier today I went out and got some reps with the Amped Pro that it'll be coming out here very shortly.
The black one, yeah.
Mine's like a reddish orangish color or something. But I think that will make a debut in carry for sure. It has a little bit of grit on it. I was hitting some saucy little dipping forehand drives, which felt good. But also for me, honestly, I love the Lux. It's just some counters where it just doesn't come off just because it's so soft and it's a thicker paddle.
Well, that's the thing is the hand speeds, the hand battles, like you're going to be faster, but you still will probably lose.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what kind of probed the whole trying the power air anyways. It was like, I get into some of these firefights and I play with people and I feel like I'm on the ball. I can read the point and it's just like, eh, like, dang
yeah.
it. Like,
yeah, I crushed that. What the hell?
Yeah. I'm sitting there like, so yeah, I think in an ideal world, I think whenever the, if and when the either 14 or 16 millimeter Lux comes out, that'll be a very exciting time to try. Cause I love a lot of things. It's helped me improve in a lot of ways. But I think I'll be rolling to carry with a couple of the old faithful Luxies and probably some Amped Pro Airs that are real nice and some hands battles and yeah.
This is every player's problem. It's like you want the best of both worlds, but you can't have it. You want it to be spinny and soft and touchy and nasty.
Yeah.
But when you go to pop it, it comes off super fast and to find that balance is really tough.
Yeah, but he's unique. Like, I don't think anyone else could actually play with a Lux. I don't think there's one other guy who could play with it.
But there's a ton of people playing with it. We see it on the course.
They're playing Rec. I get it. But, like, I don't
a lot
think...
Of a lot of AMs. A lot of
a lot AMs are crushing that Lux. But I don't think there's anyone who can pop beforehand with the Lux.
Right.
Yeah, I think, it's tough. I mean, we can't all have some illegal YOLOs, so we gotta
well said.
Well said. The floating core, they call it.
I mean, I saw Deckel hit a serve at Dreamland the other day. He hit a serve, was in the court, and it bounced. You know that little fence, wooden little
over
bar
it.
Air.
It
bounced and went over that.
Well, that's the crazy thing. It's like, not only is it faster, like, but the spin is insane. It's so much.
I was dumbfounded. It was 95% YOLA, 5% Vulcan ball, and it was shocking to see. It was like,
well, put it in context for you. When I first started playing, the ball never went over 70 miles an hour. Like, that was the metric, was 70 miles an hour. That's 2 years ago. And now, like, I'm wagering some of these are 95. They have to be.
Dude,
like, it's frightening.
It is. It honestly is. It's frightening. Like, you try to speed up a Deckel and he catches it right on a counter, and that thing is coming back
wicked.
It's too fast. I mean, it's crazy. So it's a time where you got to find, or especially for, I guess for me personally, it's finding the balance of keeping up with that, especially when you get into hands battles, all that, feeling like you stand a chance in those, but also being in control of what you're doing.
Right.
I would much rather prefer like a Lux than getting just a crazy poppy paddle and being like, roll the dice on what might happen here on this shot. Like, so yeah,
that's the struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know if we covered this, but Jack, I think that you said that the game has changed already within 12 months of playing since North Carolina. Like, what other ways do you think that is? Is it mainly just the ball speed and the paddle technology?
I'd probably think so, just because it felt like North Carolina last year, points were longer. I was probably the one looking crazy, speeding up so much, trying to play very aggressive. And now that seems like the standard is guys are And I think that is based almost all related probably to the paddle and the balls, is because you I mean, prior to the technology that paddles have now, you weren't able to take a ball off your shoestrings and speed it up and feel good about it.
So
I feel like men's doubles is first strike now, and I think mixed is almost the same in to a degree. I feel like 12 months later, the rallies of 10 plus 15 plus dinks, is that's not a thing anymore. It's,
yeah, you can't do it. I mean, everyone's striking early.
Yeah, it's
first off, where it used to be more like, which would probably have been better, but more cat and mouse, more fun, in my opinion. Like, I don't really like the way it's going. It just takes away that subtle nuance, that kind of fun aspect for me.
I would agree. I think there needs to be a regulation on, cause it almost feels it favors, you know, hot paddles, you know, at times, and people speeding up, which I don't hate, you know, having, you know, decent hands and stuff, but it is like, the cat and mouse stuff is
less
definitely
crafty.
Gone. I have a great idea for the pickleball tour. I think every player should have 3 or 4 paddles at every tournament. And if for some reason, you're allotted those, and if for some reason they all fail, you're not allowed to play, or you can go to Pickleball
reasonable.
Central tent and grab, you know, the one off the shelf. Let's see if it plays the same. And, or we hold an all Lux tournament and we all play with a little.
No, I don't want any
Lux.
Part of that. Yeah. I get fucking roasted.
That's my
I don't
goal.
Have that wrist
That's
like
what
that.
I want to do. I want to host an all Lux tournament. But no, I think the submitting 74 paddles a weekend and hoping to pass and you're just lighting the ball up and stuff just needs to, that probably needs to change, rather quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah, that it's getting fast and it's getting fast quick.
You got any tips to make Travis better?
I mean, nah, the guy's nasty as it is. I got nothing.
I'll get better. I got to get back to having more fun. I want to look like you more on court, where it's like,
he really
I'm enjoying
does.
Myself. This is fun.
Yeah. You know, it is. And I've had the, I think two instances. I think the Palm Springs Riley Thomas doubles match. I got too into pickleball and wasn't enjoying myself. Terrible play on my end.
That's what happened to me lately.
And I did it in mixed in Minnesota with Catherine against Fed and Rohrbacher. I think I wanted to beat them pretty badly. And it kind of got in the way of having fun.
Yeah.
And another L. So yeah, I kind of look at those and it's almost overdoing it, which probably looks obnoxious at times, but just like, I just try to keep thinking about backyard pickleball, just like.
And I like that term. And honestly, like, if you know you at all, you know it's not obnoxious. You're not trying to disrespect the person. You're just trying to have a good time.
No,
you're just trying to have fun, man.
Yeah, and and I'm sure there's some haters that, you know, fellow players that don't appreciate it or whatever. But it's how I am. You look at any of my doubles, tennis. Go look at whatever. It's not a show. It's not an act. I thoroughly enjoy having fun out there, and if I'm not doing that for a consistent amount of time, then you won't see me playing anymore. So I'm gonna keep having fun, because I want those moments, win or lose, like the other day, get off the court and I want to shake my partner's hand or my opponent's hand, like that was a blast. I lost to Ben in singles and was one of the most fun matches I've had. It's like just enjoy it. I mean, we're hitting a wiffle ball over a net. I mean, come on.
Do you pay attention to memes of pickleball? Are you a fan of theirs?
Say what now?
Are you a fan of memes of pickleball?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would not be.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out who it is.
Yeah.
I think someone said it's the same person that runs NFL memes.
It is.
Yeah, memes of NFL. Yeah.
And who that is, I am not sure.
We're going to get it. We're going to figure it out.
But it would be very exciting to see. He's probably lurking around tournaments.
He is, no doubt. He is.
Yeah, I mean,
just don't know.
The rumor is he's like a player, like a pro player,
low level
pro player. But I don't know if that's true or not.
I mean, it's someone with an ample amount of time on their hands, because the rate that those are fired out immediately after something happens is insane.
Well, they definitely have a team. They have a team of like at least four people. I've actually seen The Office before where they're editing film. And there's at least four guys in there. So it's a team of people. Yeah, it's a legit business, because I think memes of NFL is like over 2 million followers.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, we don't want to take up more of your time, man. We are very grateful that you came on and inspired me a little bit to have a little more fun. I'm going to go practice with this fucker right now and try to enjoy it a little bit.
Dude, try some crazy shots, go in, go out, whatever. It'll just bring you back kind of my mini tennis in the junior days is what I try to
I like that.
Keep it at.
In rec, he's disgusting. He pulls out every shot on the planet. And then I watch him play on stream and I'm like, where did that guy go?
Who the fuck is that? He just tells me that all the time.
I was like, why don't you serve like
that?
I got
in my head a little bit.
It's the power of overthinking, which I've done a few times in matches already this year. And
not fun.
Yeah. Then you wonder why. Well, yeah. So stay loose. Keep the wrist loose. Keep the arm loose. Have fun.
Flippy slappy.
Just wiggle it a little bit.
Slappy, baby. I got that shit.
Thanks, Jack. So much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate y'all having me.